Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here is the guy who was able to unlock the door to this studio to podcast about the Big Brother All-Stars premiere. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to live coverage of the Big Brother 22 live move-in event. We have got a great show for you here tonight on night number one. Let me say hello to the man who is here with us, of course, of socially distancing from all of us, but ready to be with you every step of the way. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Is this even real life? I'm not even sure, Rob. I don't know how I am. I feel like I'm living in a fever dream.
Yes. Okay. Fever dream indeed, because we've got a lot to do here tonight. We're going to be joined by our panel here tonight. Of course, we're going to have Brent Wolgamondo here, Melissa Denny, and one of our newcomers from the class of 2020. Chantel is going to be here as well. We'll get to our panel in just a couple of moments. But first, Taryn, I can't believe it. It was a weird night. It was a little bit of a sleepy premiere. We expected the unexpected. We got the expected, but here we are. It's Big Brother.
It is. I think that for the people that have not been trying to predict the cast for the last 2 months, this was probably an even more exciting premiere because seeing the surprise of everyone's face of like, oh my God, we're seeing Janelle, we're seeing Kacer, was probably like a big draw for the episode. Whereas, we hypothetically knew about these people ahead of time, but it was definitely interesting, and I'm super pumped for everything to get going.
Yeah, for those of you who were paying attention to the preseason, that we went through 17 different people, hypothetically speaking, that were going to be in the cast, that we saw only people that we spoke about hypothetically. So we were not surprised at all with any of the people that walked into the house, but we'll talk about whether or not the people who walked into the house were surprised at all. Of course, a little surprised that we got news this past 24 hours that the live feeds are going to be kicking off later on after the West Coast airing of Big Brother tonight, Taryn.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. That's the real premiere. That's the real show. Mm-hmm. We're getting night one feeds for the All-Star season. The game is afoot, Rob, and it's happening tonight.
Of course, if people want to get in on the live feeds, we have a link, robhasawebsite.com/live feeds. If you want access to the live feeds as part of CBS All Access, you can get 1 month for free with the promo code PLAY. And of course, you could watch the live feeds all night long, or you could tune in for the kickoff of the daily Taryn's Morning Update, kicking off tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern live.
Yes. It'll definitely be at a time, probably 11 a.m. Eastern. That's what I'm aiming for. But I don't know where the night's going to take me.
Yeah. What are you worried about? You're going to be up so late that you'll oversleep for when you have to do the live feed update?
I mean, honestly, I kind of feel like I might stay up so late that it's better off that I just do it earlier before I go to sleep. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, how will we know?
I'll let you know on Twitter. The YouTube notification will go off. So if you're subscribed on YouTube and you have the notifications turned on, you'll be good. It's probably going to be at 11 a.m. Eastern.
Yeah, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. You can hit that little bell, just like Rob Has a Podcast, to get notified when we go live. All of those videos are going to be on our YouTube channel live. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes for all of Rob Has a Podcast. Or if you are a Big Brother only person and don't want anything else that we have on Rob Has a Podcast, only care about Big Brother, go to robhaswebsite.com/bbpodcast. But either way, we appreciate your feedback and star ratings here at the start of the season. All right, Taryn, let's welcome in the panel.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'm excited.
All right. Let's go ahead and get to our wonderful panel here tonight. So excited to bring back with us to kick off the Big Brother season, of course. You know her as the winner of the Big Brother Royal Rumble. She's back here with us now. I believe, is this See, is this year kicking off year number four of Big Brother proper here with us? It's the great Melissa Denny. Melissa, how are you?
I'm great. We're back, baby. I'm so excited to be here, and I'm so excited watching Big Brother All Stars. This has been so fun, and I'm just psyched to be here.
Okay. All right.
Got all dressed up.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, Melissa, so nice to have you back here. Who was your favorite of tonight?
Oh, gosh. My favorite of tonight was probably Ian, I think. I mean, look, I'm so excited to see them all back. It was amazing seeing Kaysar on the screen. Janelle, of
Kaysar.
Is that how you pronounce it?
No.
Because that's the thing is, I was like, okay, that's wrong. And then I was like, wait, maybe I'm wrong. So then I just got a little nervous. I thought it was Kaysar.
Yeah. Okay.
Kaysar. I even yelled at the screen when he said that. I was like, it's not Kaysar. And then
I was like,
oh, shoot.
We all did.
Is it?
Okay.
But yeah, so excited to see everybody back. I'm a little sad that there weren't any surprises because I was kind of hoping that we'd all be shocked by at least one name. But, you know. What can you do? We're just too good.
No, we're too good. Okay. All right. I'm here with us tonight. She talked with us about Janelle in the preseason podcast. Please welcome back part of the class of 2020 here on Rob's podcast. Chantel Francis is here. Chantel, how are you?
Hello, hello. You know, I wasn't excited about sharing the Christmas season in July, but having the Christmas joy in August has been amazing. I'm so happy that Big Brother is back for my summer of 2020.
Okay, well, happy to have you here with us to talk about this jam-packed premiere and a man who was very busy in this preseason figuring out who was going to be in the house and who wasn't. Couldn't have the Big Brother premiere without the return of this man, Brent Waugemont. Brent, how are you?
I am so excited to be here. I am loving Big Brother. I know it was a little bit of a sleepy premiere, but it was like, I'm with Taryn. Like, is this real life? Like, Big Brother All-Stars is happening. Some people we never thought we would have a chance of getting back, like Keisha, Memphis, Kevin Campbell. Like, I never thought that those people would come back ever to Big Brother All-Stars, and like they're here, and I'm so excited for it.
All right, great to have you back to talk about everything. I also want to just set up here at the start of the live show, hashtag RHAP. Scott St. Pierre is standing by. We'll take your questions later on in the show, and I just think it is great to note here at the start of the season, we will complain about stuff. We will have problems with people. We'll hate on the twist. We'll talk about how stupid the table maze is. But I just think it bears noting for anybody from production who might be listening to this, thank you. Because this is a gift and a blessing that you guys got your act together. You guys figured out how to do this. And we appreciate you. So we're going to complain. And we're going to have problems with things, but this is what we like to do. So thank you, CBS. Thank you, Big Brother 22, Allison Grodner and company, for getting your act together and figuring out this bubble and getting these people into sequester and getting a show and live feeds on the air, because you easily could have either said, all right, we'll be back next year, or screwed up the plan. We're here. You've done it. Let's keep it going for 85 more days, okay? That's what I have to
say. Sounds good to me.
Start of the
season. I'm all about it. Like somebody said to me, like, Brink, could you just complain a little bit less this year? Because look what we're getting. And I'm like, I will try. And Rob, I hear what you're saying. But like part of the thrill of like covering Big Brother is complaining just a little bit.
No,
sometimes.
I'm not saying we're not going to complain. I'm just saying that I am. I don't want to say grateful, but I do want to say very appreciative of the work that went into getting us a season here.
Yes.
In the middle of a pandemic. And it's not a three-weeker. It's a real Big Brother season. And it's all stars no less, so we're so excited about the prospects of what is to come. Taryn, what do you feel like is the big headline tonight?
I mean, I think it's just that it started. Like I said, I don't think there's anything super new here. For everybody that's been following along in the preseason, for anybody that hasn't been following along in the preseason, it's the cast, I think. It's, mm-hmm. We got these people. This is amazing. For everybody that has been, it started. let's watch the feeds. Let's wait for Sunday to see what happens. Who's going to be targeted? What's happening here? We did get an HOH, but you know, we don't really know where that's going to go. So I think a lot of it's just like, this is real. That's the headline. This is actually happening.
Yeah. Chantel, who was the biggest get that they were able to pull in for this? Who was the person that was the best job of casting that they got?
I mean, I have to say Janelle. Like, she is honestly, she is the face of Big Brother. We talked about it. We said it. She's the hardest get. She's the most impressive player on the show. So, like, you know, her pedigree is like amazing. I just love seeing her back. I love people being like, oh my God, I'm in the presence of Janelle. I think it was her. It had to have been.
Okay. Let's just quickly go through everybody. Of course, tomorrow night we'll be live at 8 p.m. Eastern to do our Big Brother draft. Of course, we did not get to do a proper draft in the preseason, but we'll be back live 8 p.m. Eastern. Hopefully there's not too much drama happening in the house at that time. That's usually what, Taryn, what do you think? 5 o'clock Pacific? They're probably like making dinner, working out.
Nominations, I imagine, or I don't know. The first week is usually a weird week, but it seems like it will be a regular week this week because there'll be an eviction on Thursday. So, it might be nominations.
You think so? You think they would do it that early with, today's only Wednesday.
They'll probably wait till Friday. Yeah. I forgot that it's Wednesday. They'll probably wait till Friday. So yeah, it'll probably be a slower day.
Okay. Probably be a slower day. So, we'll be live 8 p.m. Eastern. And of course, all of these shows will be in your podcast feed to check out. But we got it. We went in groups of four. Then each group of four got to the table maze. We'll talk about that. But we kick things off with the star of our show, Melissa. Nicole Franzel is back.
I was shocked that they put hers first, too. But I mean, she is, I think she's a total character. Mm-hmm. I think that she, I mean, when during the table maze, I know we're not at that point yet, but during the table maze, when she's like, Nicole, you're not even doing anything. You're just moving it back and forth. I was like, oh my God, this is too funny. I think she's really funny. So I was excited to see her back. I mean, especially because I do think it lends credibility to the season when you have winners on, and she's a winner and she's played twice before. And I just feel like it's, and not only that, let me just like overarching. I know that, you know, there has been some upsetness about who is brought back and who was not brought back, AKA like, why don't we have Derek and Dan and Will? And I felt the same way. But, you know, when I was watching the premiere, I was thinking to myself, like, you know, everybody who's in the house right now has something to prove. Like, they feel like they need to improve upon their previous season and that they have something to show America. And I think that that's kind of cool to see the stories like that. I mean, you've got Cody and Memphis who both were like, we lost to, you know, to like such a great player and we were like the number two. And then you've got Ian who feels like he has to prove that his win against Dan was real. And then you've got Nicole who feels like she has to prove that her win against Paul was actually real. And you've got a bunch of people who got second place. And so it's like, I do think that it's kind of cool to see everybody have like their story. And so I just think it's really exciting. And I'm excited to see Nicole and everybody else play.
Yeah, Taryn, I'm not sure if we specifically cited Michelle Fitzgerald when we talked about Nicole Franzel in the preseason, but it was very much the same story as when Michelle came back on Winners at War.
I mean, it definitely could be. I don't know if Michelle came back in saying, I'm the total package.
No, she did not want to say she was the total package.
Right. So I feel like they come in with slightly different attitudes, but they may also leave with slightly different attitudes because I do feel like Michelle Fitzgerald might have come out of Winners at War like, come on, guys, I'm the total package, right? I don't know if Nicole Franzel will come out saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. And Chantel, that I noticed that Nicole Franzel's profession has been upgraded to social media influencer.
Well, I think that she's had a lot of influence on maybe Victor's hairstyle.
I think I say the cast.
I haven't really seen that much that she's done, but I'm happy that she's, you know, changed careers and changed professions. She's no longer a nurse, so she's not a frontline worker, and she's able to be on the show for our summer. So I
thought it was funny how a lot of people's professions changed.
Yeah. Like, let's highlight those.
Like Nicole is a podcaster, or like other Nicole's a podcaster, and this Nicole's a social media influencer, and then Tyler like is a jewelry designer, and it's like, mm-hmm, everybody's got their new thing, which is kind of funny to see.
Maybe it's their new babies because everybody else had actual babies. This is their new babies that they're having.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Brent, anything you want to say about the return of Nicole? You were pumped up.
I am pumped up, but I don't like to, you know, there's four people here. I don't want to jump on everybody else.
You never want to hog the spotlight in the microphone.
Well, I'm trying not to. Like, the one thing I thought the show was having a little fun with trolling us by putting Nicole Franzel first, because, you know, Chantel handpicked the cast. We'd done heard this on social media.
She told them to put her first.
Yeah. So, like, I thought they were having a little fun by putting her out there. Well, I will say this, though, Rob. Like, yes. I love the fact that Nicole was a little mouthy. Like, you know what? I am the total package. I liked the fact that she was giving it back to us. I much prefer that.
And look, I this is something that, you know, it's Big Brother season. It's worth noting. Sometimes we say things that are sarcastic that we don't actually believe. We're just having some fun and saying things that are tongue in cheek that nobody here, I don't believe, thinks Nicole got people kicked off the cast. That we're just joking around. So we don't need to get the tweets that we're saying
I fully believe it.
Karen believes it.
I'm kidding.
Yes.
I'm kidding.
Okay. All right. Then we go right to Danny Donato is back. How exciting is this? Okay, Brent, you must have something to say about Danny Donato being back.
I mean, first of all, she looks so freaking amazing, and I love her energy. I was so excited to see Danny Donato come back to the Big Brother house. I just watched Big Brother 13 last night in preparation.
The whole season?
Well, like they have these videos on YouTube, which, like, you know, Big Brother whatever in 22 minutes, or like they put everything, like they condense it to like an hour or two. And I watched Big Brother 13 over like 2 hours, and like Danny Donato, honey, she was everything. Like, I can't, like, I loved Rachel so much, so I couldn't root for Danny in her full amazingness. But this season, I'm here for her. I want to see Danny Donato clean up.
Okay. Chantel, any thoughts on Danny Donato?
I was really happy to see her, and she looks like she's coming back to win. She had all these other reasons why she didn't win their past two seasons, and I think that her eye is on the prize. Like, she is coming to play, and you can already see her in the game. Like, her head's working. She is ready to play.
Chantel, so did you love it that she, like, she didn't even mention Dick? She was like, with some person that I'm associated with.
And they had to Frankenbite that too. Like, that wasn't even a full sentence. I played with another person. They had to pull two different versions of her saying things to get there.
Taryn, did we even see modern day Dominic?
I think we did. Right?
Yeah, that was him.
Okay.
Yeah.
He on the grass, I believe.
All right. Look, a lot of table mazes. This was 2 hours ago. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what they were filming was like the dream sequence at the end of a movie, like where everyone lives happily ever after. Yeah. Like, it was idyllic.
Okay. All right. We have Danny Donato. She's a stay-at-home mom. Now Davon is back. Terrence, acting coach Davon.
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's a new one too.
Who knew?
And honestly, like, it makes it, honestly, to me, like, it makes so much sense. Like, you even see her, like, speaking to somebody, and she just, like, she just has it, you know? She just knows how to, like, just be, like, just, she can speak, and it's just, boom, entertaining. It's great. So it makes complete sense that she would, you know, train people on, like, how to be an actor, how to, like, you know, project. I don't know.
Yeah.
Totally. I don't know what acting people do.
Yeah, those things.
Yeah. Okay. Any other highlights from Davon?
It actually was the first time that I got a little teary-eyed when her daughter was speaking to her. I got, my eyes welled up. I was like, you go for it, Davon. Like, you you do it. I got a little bit teary-eyed.
When she talked about how her, I think she was the person who talked about her mom said, you're going to have a little girl and she's going to act just like you. Yep. And then Davon was like, oh, man, like, I don't know about that. Like, because I know how I was when I was that age. So, wow. Yeah. I love that.
I think her time on the challenge shows when I saw her on stage and she was in athletic gear. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Totally.
All right. Christmas Abbott is back. She's here for redemption. It's all happening. Christmas.
I'm surprised that they didn't ask her more about her season. I feel like she focused so much on, like, oh, I like hurt myself. And so I was like, you know, had to maintain, like, had to rely on my social game. But I was kind of surprised that they didn't bring up, like, the fact that she wasn't really like a strong player on her season. She just kind of like went along.
All right, guys, get hyped. It's Christmas.
No. Okay, that's not what I meant. I meant like what you did wrong before. Everyone else brought up like, oh, well, I wish I had been more making more of the decisions, or like, I wish I had like cut this person in the end. And hers was just like, oh, I wish I didn't get injured. And I feel like there's more to her game than that. Like, I don't know. I just felt like there should have been more of a discussion on, you know, Paul's influence on her, and maybe like the fact that now she's going to play her own game. You know, I don't know. I just felt like there was going to be something that she would bring up about her previous season besides the injury. But you know
what? I agree.
Like, I'm excited to see like full athletic Christmas play and see how it goes. But it's just, you know, that was my one.
Maybe they were hoping that people wouldn't watch that and be like, oh yeah, why isn't Paul on this season? Paul should be back.
Maybe. Paul was on this. Look, I'll say this though. There's 16 people in this cast. 15 of the 16 people, I can honestly say, I understand why you're here. Okay. I love them. It's an amazing cast. We got some amazing gets. This one, God bless her. I do not understand what they were thinking in bringing her back. No one, and I don't mean, I'm not trying to shade her, okay? I'm being real. I'm not being mean. I don't know anyone who was wanting Christmas to come back to Big Brother. Now, she may ultimately end up making a run on this season and siding with our faves and winning comps, and we may be standing her and at the end of the season have an amazing turnaround. But right now, in the here and now, it's the biggest question mark for me. It's like, why are you here?
Chantel, what do you think? Well, what's the appeal of Christmas?
I think it's just because she got third place. And so they had someone that was willing to come, willing to play. She does have something to prove for herself. And they could call her an all-star by the fact that she came in third. And so I think it's just that she was an easy get, to be honest.
Yeah. It might be that. I also think that she has big Instagram following. I think that they look at that, they pay attention to like, oh, well, if all of her Instagram followers watch, that's a lot of people. That's almost a rating point. If we can get all the Christmas audience in there.
I mean, I think the injury is an interesting story. It's like, oh, okay, I came on, I got injured. She came on like supposed to be the athletic competitor. I mean, that's her whole appeal, is that she has this like CrossFit, athletic empire, whatever. I don't know, like sports stuff, whatever. But like the fact is that she comes on and like immediately injures herself. So she can't compete in that way, which was going to be the main way that she played. And so now I do think it's an interesting story to see like, okay, what would it have been had she not gotten injured?
Taryn, when she ends up in the HOH competition, having to jump across those things, I have to say it did run through my mind like, boy, hope that she comes out okay, doesn't take a spill.
Yeah, that did not look particularly safe.
It looks so dangerous.
You know, people with fragile feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she made it. She made it through. Luckily, that Cody getting such a good time early on meant that people did not have to really, only Memphis had to repeatedly fall down on the thing. But let's get to the first competition, which was the table maze.
Let's talk about the table maze, Rob.
Look, they had a 2-hour show. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but this was that if anybody is having trouble falling asleep tonight, hope you DVR'd tonight's show, because rewind to back to about 20 minutes into the show and you'll be out pretty quick.
Chantel, what was up with the two sets of girls having the holes that were the furthest away, and like on the, and this board was really heavy. Like Janie's up there trying to move it around, and it is like I can feel it through the television how heavy that board is trying to move. And they gave them these slots that were at the furthest end of the board, resulting in only what, two women who made it through, because like they gave them a 4-minute time limit. I was slightly annoyed. I was
very annoyed. And I was just thinking that production must have wanted a man to win the first head of household. Whether they wouldn't have made it so heavy-handed for the men. It was super easy for the men to be able to play these games. And then the women had to go all the way to the other end for both of the sets of women. And so I was like, I don't know if production has a favorite that they wanted to keep safe, at least for the first week. Maybe they made it a little bit more easy for the men.
Not for anything. put bumpers on this thing. Did they not test this? I mean, this is not good television. This was not good.
It was so frustrating, Taryn, when like Janie got to the end and like she was like about ready to get in the hole and then it fell off the whole thing. Like, why wasn't there a little bumper there?
Taryn, you know who to blame for this? Cliff Hogg. The last time they did this, Cliff did it in like 8 seconds. They're like, all right, we got to make it real tough because this is an easy challenge.
Thanks, Cliff.
It's just, they like, I sometimes, and I say sometimes, oftentimes, I think about the choices that they make on this show and I'm just like, what were they thinking? This is not the kind of competition that is good for live television. It can be great for being edited because you can edit a story of the ball going down the maze and then like, you know, dramatic music as like, oh, they're getting close. Like, oh, is it going to happen? But like, this was just kind of randomly like, oh, I think that person's, oh no, over here. it's over here. Oh no, they fell.
And then they cut to like, random people. So you don't know like who's in the lead or what.
Yeah. It was just, this is not designed to be live.
Melissa, also, like, I don't know the room. Like, okay, the bathroom, okay, I know. But there were a couple of rooms of the house. Like, I don't necessarily know what room the thing is even in. So I'm watching people do the table maze, and I don't even know if they're getting closer or not. I don't even know where they're going because I don't know what room the thing was in.
Like, the whole thing
put it on
was
the box,
not
put
ideal.
The screen.
It was not ideal. And I mean, on top of that, like, okay, I don't want to sit there and like bite the hand that feeds me because it's like, yes, they did give us like a live show.
We love
it's
them.
Like, the whole point you want a live show is to see them interact for the first time because you don't really get that. And so like, that's what we want to see. And instead, when we finally get them interacting with each other, Julie's like, everybody sit down, everybody. It's like, no, don't make them sit down. Like, this is what we want. We don't care about competitions. Like, I don't need to see a live competition played out four times and then see an HOH competition all in one fell swoop. Like, I want to see the interaction. I want to see the reaction when Janelle and Kacer realize they're in the house together. Like, I want to see the reaction when Bailey and Tyler see each other. Like, that's what I want to see. I don't care about this stupid table maze.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Chantel, that Melissa brings up a good point also, because I think that, you know, I was talking about like a Big Brother UK premiere type thing where if they would have brought out each person one-on-one, like, all right, let's see who we're going to talk to the next. Like, oh, it's Janelle. Okay. Show the Janelle package. All right. Go on into the house. And then we could have seen like the reaction that the cast had to each person as they walk into the door. Like, I think that probably would have been a lot more fun tonight than four different table mazes.
That's what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Like, when they said live, I thought it was going to be like BBOTT, where they brought one person in at a time and they like, you know, I remember, or at least like they had Morgan and Scott in there for a long time, just the two of them. And it was like, oh, this is awkward, but at least it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, I definitely have watched the YouTube entrances and it's pretty epic. And you can see people nervous and they're coming in and they're watching them come down the stairs and they talk and they give them the glass of champagne. And you see the nerves and the interacting and the bonding happening before your eyes. And I find like that to be exciting and magical. Like, I definitely do not care about the competitions in the game, especially not a poorly made table maze.
I didn't even care about the competitions. And I also didn't care about the way they introduced the house guests to each other, where they just like dumped four people into a room. Of four people, and you could like see people like randomly, depending on which camera was showing what person hugging, you might get to see an interaction that you wanted to see. Like, I think it was Davon and Keisha when they like hugged and were like so excited to see each other. That was really cool, but that was really, you know, few and far in between as far as those kind of interactions.
Can I ask a question about the masks? And I'm not the ultimate expert on public health policy. I've left my house less than, you count on one hand, the number of times I've left my house in the last 5 months. That being said, that if Julie was far enough away from them, and then they were allowed to take their masks off once they got into the house, was it just for show that they were masked outside of like, hey, just to show you, we're doing this and it's 2020? Or is it like, hey, we're showing people it's cool to wear a mask?
I think it's a kind of a symbolic gesture of like they are entering this quarantined space. Like they are out in the real world out here and they're going into this fantasy world where masks don't exist anymore.
Okay, so it's everybody's fantasy of a world with living without masks, free without having to think about the coronavirus. Okay,
look, I'm glad they did that though. Like, I mean, I feel like it's important to like, first of all, talk about it because people are going to question who like don't know the pre-production, like all that sort of stuff, like who aren't following it like we are. Like, they're going to be like, wait, I don't understand. Like, isn't there COVID going on? Like, why are they just like putting these people all together in a house without masks, without protection? Like, what the heck's going on? So I do think it's important that Julie like stopped and explained. Yeah. And I also think it's important, like, yeah, sure, it's purely symbolic at that point because supposedly everyone's been tested, everyone's standing far apart, and then they're going to just throw the masks off and throw them on the ground the second they get in the house. But I do think that like showing the public too, like, hey, like we're all following procedure. Masks are important. Like, you know, everyone's doing it and we're following, you know.
Yeah, I think it was for the public, but I also, I'm taken with Abby's comment in the chat where she was like, let's be real. It was to extra protect Julie Chen Moonves. Like, that's what it was about. Like, it was all about her.
I didn't understand
that. No, they should have had her in a suit. Just like a full-on
plexiglass
PPE.
Yeah.
I didn't understand, though, why they were asking them all questions with the masks on.
Yes,
it's kind of like, have the mask, have them go in. Then talk to them because I was like, what are they saying? And well, just like these masks moving.
The best was when Memphis and Cody like responded and she couldn't, she was like,
she's like, okay, who is the best alliance? And then they're both talking and she's like, okay, so we don't know who's saying what. I've asked you a rhetorical question and you've both given the very predictable answer, but we're unclear who said what.
Gosh.
Exactly. It was a little bit of a silly moment to be asking questions to people, especially at the same time wearing a mask.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then we got to meet our first four men in house. Christmas will advance to the HOH. We got to meet our first four men in the house. And first we meet Tyler. Tyler is back, Taryn.
He's back. Very excited to see Tyler play again. I think he comes in probably with a pretty big target on his back. He had some interesting takeaways from his first game. He said that he overpromised. I actually am not sure how much I agree with that. I feel like a lot of the people he promised things to actually did vote for him in the end. And it was the people that he kind of dropped off and stopped promising things to that didn't vote for him in the end. So little concerned about that, but definitely interested to see how he plays.
Yeah, Rob, I noticed he did what you love, where he was like, I'm the winner. Like, I lost the game, but I'm the real winner of everything because I got to the end and I got the girls. So there you go.
Yeah.
Because I can't stand it when people do that. I will say I agree with Taryn's take that I didn't love what he said. Like, if that's what he took away from his time on Big Brother, then I don't feel like he's set up for success on this season of Big Brother, because the people that he spent time with and had like personal interactions with, even though he burned them in the end, they ended up voting for him. It was the people that he kind of said screw you and didn't spend enough time with and neglected that ended up not voting for him in the end, and that and also throwing the final four veto. Yeah, I said it.
Well, so did we see Angela?
Yeah.
Nope.
But did we see her? But she didn't have. She didn't get to talk.
She was. She did talk, but it was about a piece of her jewelry.
Okay.
That they were designing.
Okay. Well, good for her.
Yeah. So, no, well, you know what? That Chantel, I guess that I feel like that they didn't really talk to any of the spouses. Like, I feel like they didn't really talk to Victor. They didn't really, you know, do an interview with Dominic, with Angela. They don't care.
Swaggy talked.
See, I was going to say Swaggy talked.
And Victor did tell Nicole that she was doing a great job while she was doing farm work.
Yeah.
But I did hear that Ovi, sorry, like to interrupt, but I did hear that Ovi tweeted that they sent camera gear to all the contestants and they filmed their own intro packages. Ooh. So like, I don't know if it's like a production. I don't know if that's actually true, but like, that's what he tweeted. And
interesting. Knows,
but like, I mean, it made sense because they all looked very different in quality and like just what they were doing. I mean, like Enzo on the rooftop and like people doing certain things. So I did think that like that made more sense once I knew that they filmed it themselves.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that Andrew Lee has that much of a big personality. So to capture that, we capture her true essence, I think.
Yes. Okay. All right. Ian Terry is here. And we got to see Ian. Ian is a little gray now. He's all grown up. Taryn, how exciting is this that Ian is back?
It's super exciting. And I love like the intensity and like how serious he is. Like, I'm here. I'm
Big Brother
now.
Ian Taryn. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just so pumped to see Ian back. He, you know, he seems so nervous immediately when the show starts, and I was like, that's Ian. Like, here we go.
Yeah. Melissa, I know you were on the Ian preview with us to talk about his chances. He says he's going to try to play the dumbass this season, that he's going to make people think that he is suddenly dumb. What do you think? Is that going to work?
I don't know if that's a winning strategy, especially since he... I mean, look, it's totally possible. I mean, I don't know if he was acting, but he looked really nervous the whole time. And I mean, he like... Didn't he go around the other side of the like the maze thinking that the handles were over there and then there were no handles? So he like ran back around to the other side. I mean, he did say he was going to lay low in competitions and then immediately won. So, I mean, I don't know if I trust Ian's strategy going in.
Taryn,
so.
He said on the computer that he says he has a really high R score value. Did you follow what he's talking about?
No.
It's always funny when they pretend to work. Yeah, we're gonna work on our 2020.
Yeah, that was Kaser. He was like, we're on the phone. They just have to catch Kaser planning his 2021 schedule at work.
He's making Zoom calls. He's in a meeting. It was weird to me that Ian said like, I'm gonna change it up. I'm gonna lie low and, you know, sort of act the fool and then like dominate the competitions in the back half. But I was like, Ian, that's what you did.
That's
the
what
first
you did.
Time. That's how you won. The first time. And the thing that I'm concerned about is that Ian won all those competitions. And don't get me wrong, Ian, I think, is one of the best competitors on Big Brother of all time. Very underrated. However, he's great at the kinds of competitions they did in Big Brother 14. As we've talked about extensively, the competitions have been shifting to a more physical style of competition. We saw that play out just tonight. So if he's expecting to be able to comp win his way down to the end in the same way that he did the first time, I think he might be unpleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Well, I'm just curious if he can still kick his head with his foot. I want to know if he still has that ability. That's what I want. Hope unfolds this season.
You don't lose that kind of talent.
He got older.
That talent's forever.
Yeah, he's got that forever. Okay. We have Kevin. Brent, I thought Kevin had probably the best intro package.
Yeah, it was an amazing intro package. I was so pumped. First of all, like,
which makes sense considering what he does.
I also watched Big Brother 11 last night, and I was like so psyched to see Kevin. For real, like, it's Taryn. I had such a great time. Because I wanted to like brush up on some of these people that I honestly forgot. And Kevin is such an amazing presence in the Big Brother house. First of all, I can't believe of the 16 people, this is the one I feel like is the biggest get for me. Because like I know, like, as far as a get goes, like, I'm sure you could get Kevin to come back, but for them to actually invite him back, that's what I couldn't believe, because I thought there's no chance they're ever going to invite this guy back. But then they did, and we're getting him. His intro package was so fun. He got to talk. Then you got to see from his husband and how they were talking about their family they're trying to build or thinking about building. Possibly if he wins the money, they might be able to adopt. And how cool would that be? And then Kevin was giving you all of the, I think it was, what was the drag persona
Anita
he had?
Vito.
Anita Vito. How could I forget? Anita Carr, Anita Vito. Yeah. That's like old drag stuff, like, being Miss Anita about something, but I was happy to see it. And I hope we get to see Miss Anita sometime.
I mean, if this was Survivor, I would have felt like, winner at it.
There winner.
It was great. I got everything I wanted from Kevin in that intro package. He is exactly who I want him to be coming back to play.
And I love the fact that they included the fact that he was like that close to winning Big Brother 11, because I just tweeted that yesterday. I'm like, you guys don't realize, like, he was so close to winning Big Brother 11 and $500,000. Instead, he went home with nothing.
Okay. All right. Enzo is back.
Hot Enzo. Chantel.
Oh, Enzo got hotter. Chantel is fanning herself. Okay.
I always had a little mini crush on Enzo, and I'm happy to see him back. I don't know if he's going to do that great in the actual game, but I will like to watch him navigate this new house.
All right.
Yeah.
Enzo,
Rob, he's such a character. I'm so excited for Enzo because he's such good TV, and like his head is so big because he thinks like he did this
HGH?
Amazing stuff. Yeah, oh. I know. Like he's just I think he has a little bit of overblown sense of what he accomplished during Big Brother 12. Like, it was really cool, And he did influence a lot of what the Brigade did, but like I think Hoffman had a lot to do with it, and Hayden, other people. But still, like, I'm so excited to see him back on TV, and he's excited to be here. And that's somebody else I never thought that they like. I thought they would invite like Hayden or Lane before they invited Enzo back. So I'm excited to see him.
Yeah. It was exactly, you know, when we talked about Enzo in the hypothetical podcast, we were like, what is Enzo's takeaway from his season? What did he learn? Hopefully it's not that he was so close and all he needed to do was win a competition. And of course, what he says is, really, the only problem I had is that I took these two big athletic guys with me to the end and I couldn't beat them in a competition. I was so close. And so I think that's interesting. I think that means that we could see, you know, we've been talking about like Enzo. Is he going to start Brigade 2.0? Is he going to work with the bros? Perhaps Enzo's going to choose people that he thinks he can beat in competitions this time around.
Interesting. Melissa, we learned about Enzo's living situation. He lives in a three-story house where Enzo lives up in the penthouse. On the second floor lives his mom. And on the first floor, Enzo's aunt lives with him, and she helps him out with a very special need.
So I got a three-floor house. My aunt is in a basement who shaves my back.
And they made their own intro packages. I don't know if I would bring this stuff up if I was him.
Yeah.
Enzo's the character. I'm very excited to see him back. I mean, I think he's going to be really funny to watch. And yeah, I can't believe he's back. It's weird seeing him on the screen again.
Yeah, it is.
And he looks great.
Okay. All right, I mean,
it's silent after I say that. No, like he does. He even talks about his package.
Me and Chantel already talked about how he looked great.
No, right. I mean, physically, like, he looks like he's going to be good
jacked.
At the competition.
Yeah, he does.
Okay?
Yeah, he looks
sure
jacked.
That you put it in there.
Yes.
Whoa.
Totally.
We get it.
Yeah, totally.
Question is, which house guest is going to shave his back if his aunt isn't there? That can be for a bonus point in the draft tomorrow night. To draft
Nicole Anthony,
that's my pick. Yeah. Chantel, do you live in a three-story house if one of those stories is a basement?
No, it's a three-story house in the basement. So, no, you do not.
Yeah.
What if it's a finished basement? Does that count?
I don't think so.
Maybe it's an above-ground basement?
We have to ask Janelle, who works in real estate. But I don't think that if you can count a basement as one of the three stories in your house. Okay. The meow meow is back. There was a...
Did you catch his hat? It said meow meow on it.
Yeah.
He's coming in branded.
Yes,
good.
Taryn, I was all expecting for him to say the meow meow is gone, and he was going to be Mr. What is it? Dwight?
Dwight
something. I kept saying it was Dwight Suave, but it's not Suave. Something else.
Dwight Meow.
Yeah.
I need you, Dwight Meow.
He did not give us his alter ego persona yet. And he also talked about when Julie had asked about what is the one word that's going to, you know, help you win the game. He said his Pop Dukes.
Pop Dukes.
Yeah. I tweeted that out. I'm like, what is that? She didn't even know what it was. She just repeated it.
Yeah, Julie's like, okay.
I loved every answer to that question. Like all the way down the line, I was just like,
they're all
nailed
bad.
It every single you know, you have Kevin like, whatever it takes to get to the end. Tyler's like, I have no idea. And Ian's like, luck. And then
that was
Enzo,
the right answer.
Right? Yeah. And then Enzo, Pop Dukes. And it's like, this is perfect representation of all of these people.
Yeah. Pop Dukes. Okay. All right. And then we're going to get back to Table Maze. And we're going to have Ian and Kevin are going to move on.
We were living, I just want to say, like, when I saw Ian and Kevin win and some people lose, like, that was fun. I like part two. Part two was a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. Janelle is the first of the second group of women that we get to see. Chantel, you are so excited for Janelle to come back.
And I still am excited for her to be here. And I'm excited to see just the house guest reaction to her, because they've all had to at least know who she is at this point and seen some of her gameplay and seen her at least on the Amazing Race or something. And so just seeing people see their legends in the flesh, I'm excited just to see what her presence is like amongst the other people in the house. So it was really great to see her.
Brent, you were on that Janelle preview as well.
Yeah.
How stoked were you to see Janelle back in the house for the fourth time tonight?
I was so stoked. I mean, like, I knew she was coming, and I know she's been pre-gaming hard before the season even started, but damn, it's good to see Janelle in a Big Brother house. And like, she lives for it. She loves the game. Like, honey, she's not there for the Instagram followers. She's not there to be a social media mogul. She's there because she loves freaking Big Brother, and we love her for it. So that's why I'm excited to see Janelle Pierzina come back to Big Brother and take home the win this time. Fourth time is, what did she say, Bichentel? Like a diamond? Fourth time's the diamond?
Diamond, what? Yes, because diamonds are like girl's best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't think that's what she said.
Something like that.
Yeah,
she said she did.
Fourth time is a diamond, because diamonds are a girl's best friend.
Fourth time is a diamond, is that an expression?
That's a classic saying, Rob.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Classic, fourth time's the diamond.
You can't say third time's the charm. Yeah. She said fourth time's the diamond.
Fourth time's the diamond. Okay. All right. Bailey is back.
Working the runway.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Melissa, like yourself, Bailey is also a proud new dog mom.
Oh, wow. And she's going to be away from her dog for so long. Mm-hmm. So sad. And also away from Swaggy, I guess. That was a weird answer she gave when Julie was like, you're married to him, because she was like, well, I live with Swaggy, and then Julie's like, you're married to him.
Well, it's
like,
Julie may know a thing or two about dealing with a difficult husband. To be fair.
Yikes.
I thought she was just having fun, and like, it can come off a little weird on live television, that answer. But I that she's got nothing but love for Swaggy, and I loved Bailey's intro package was so good. Like I know all 16 people look good, but Bailey looked amazing. She was walking that street when they did the beginning of the intro package, and her energy was just giving me life. So I loved what she was giving us.
Yeah. I also thought it was cool that she like found the spot where there's like a picture of Swaggy in the house. That like that's nice that you have a mural of your loved one up in the house.
When I saw the photos of the house and I saw the comic version of Swaggy on the wall next to a bed, I immediately knew that Bailey was claiming that bed. And what do you know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you guys watched the challenge, but Bailey and Swaggy had comforters that had images that were printed all over their comforters. So I think that she's comforted by sleeping very close to images of her significant other.
Okay. Nicole Anthony is back.
Woo!
Brent.
Yes.
Yes.
Worst kept secret in the history of social media. Thank you.
No, I bought it. I thought that she was very convincing on social media.
Very convincing. Yes. With the potato salad recipe and all of the things that were happening at her house and all the videos they released. God bless you, Eric, for Eric Curto.
Big Brother 22's Eric Curto. Several Eric sightings in Nicole's for podcast host. Nicole Anthony.
Let me just say, Taryn, I felt so excited. Melissa, Chantel, I'm so excited because after I saw that intro package, I was like, you know what? It is not totally outside the realm of possibility that I could get on Big Brother 23 because, like, obviously, like, they're cool with some reality podcast. Oh, shut up. Like, I was so excited to see Eric Nicole's intro package because obviously we knew she was coming back. She's been a lock for a little while. And I was like, I mean, of the people, like, first of all, the story of Nicole Anthony in the preseason was like, at first, we didn't think she was coming back. And like, I was amazed by that because she was the fan favorite of last season. Like, to me, she was like the biggest lock ever to come back if they did All Stars the next season. And then we didn't think she was coming back. And then finally we found out she was. And then from there, it was like, you know, yeah, this is right. Because she honestly belongs on an All-Star season.
She went into sequester and there was a marked change in the social media behavior. So.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Eric, you don't have to tweet as Nicole anymore. So you were irritating people, I feel like.
I think it's really funny, like, that a lot of people were tweeting for, I mean, Dominic was tweeting for Danny and was like trying to be all like, hey cuties, what's up today, emoji. Yeah. Like, that's not how it would be. So it's gonna be very funny.
I feel like Dominic was not really trying that hard to mimic.
You don't need to try that hard. I mean, I feel like that when Danielle Reyes was like, hey, I swear to you on all that's holy, I am not on this season, like, it's like, yeah, guys, I do think think she's serious. I think that even though people are saying she's not. But then if you really are on the season, like why? It's they're not going to like pull you out of sequester that, hey, your Phantom account is not fighting back against the charges that you're on the season hard enough. Chantel, Christmas put out an email blast yesterday and she's still on the show.
I saw that. You know, it was probably on Hootsuite or something. You know, something she was going to send out to all her followers that wasn't updated when they didn't send out the cast list. So, you know, it was just already pre-programmed and she couldn't change anything. But I thought it was really funny that, like, okay, well, gigs up.
Yeah, it was a mass merch, email.
Right? He did?
Well, like, for Cody. I didn't like, shirts that said, like, Cody and Calafiore on the back.
Mm-hmm. Christmas sent out a mass email saying, I'm going to be on the show. And then immediately after, another mass email. Please don't share this, actually. Can you please? This could get me in trouble. Like, somebody was at the computer and then, like, a scheduled email got sent out and they were like, Oh, no.
Well, same with Tyler's mom as well.
Oh, and yeah.
Made some sort of post being like, oh, we can't wait to see my son play for a second time this summer. And we're like, oh, I guess she didn't know that they didn't release the cast yet.
And CBS leaked it themselves.
Absolutely.
Like this morning with the picture of all the people. It's like, okay, what are you doing?
Oh, that was a goof. I thought they finally were just like, we give up.
No, because they deleted it right away.
Oh, yeah.
They were like, oh.
Look, was anybody surprised tonight?
No, not one bit.
Either you were oblivious and you were surprised by all 16 people, or you knew every single person that was going to be on the cast. There was no middle ground.
Yep.
Okay. Also, as we're talking about Nicole, I just want to point out this tweet that Mike Bloom had earlier tonight, Taryn. Mike Bloom put it all together. He says that Nicole hates birds. Her dad has a birdhouse collection. Nicole once locked her dad in the basement. All the pieces are coming together. So we're starting to learn more and more about the backstory. Okay. And then finally, Melissa, the return, finally, of Keisha.
Yes.
Woo!
I mean, baby. We saw her birthday, aired on TV.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I never thought I'd see her come back. I was really shocked when people were started saying like, oh, she's coming back. I was like, okay, sure. But I mean, she's back and she looks great and I'm so excited to see her play again. I mean, this was a big get for the fans, I think.
Yeah, this
was
a long time coming. Like, mm-hmm. I was so excited to see Keisha come back after Big Brother 10. And then it just never happened. There was not an opportunity for her to come back. And I really had sort of let that dream die. Like, mm-hmm. Melissa, I was sort of like, I think there's no chance that she'll ever come back. Like, it's been too long. She's not, like, there's other fan
people
favorites now.
Yeah,
exactly. And then for us to get her and her fellow castmate from Big Brother 10, which was one of I think is the best season of Big Brother ever. I mean, like, I'm really most like 99% happy with what we got tonight on Big Brother.
And I love her intro is all about her biggest mistake is that she trusted people too much. And the person she trusted too much, the person that burned her the most, even more than Dan, is on the season with her. That's going to be juicy.
Okay. All right. Chantel, any thoughts on Keisha's return?
Well, I hadn't seen Keisha's birthday in many, many years since it actually aired. And I pretty much forgot about that season. So I did a rewatch of that whole scene right before the season started. And I got goosebumps because I was like, oh my God, it was so visceral. And like the tension was there. And I was like, oh, right. I remember the season.
Chantel, do you remember a line? There was a line in that whole birthday where Memphis turns to the cameras and he goes, this is why you put 30-year-old women in the Big Brother house because they go freaking crazy. Now, I will say that that's a little chauvinistic. I would say if you put 30-year-old people in the Big Brother house, they're more likely to be nuts. So I am really excited for this season of Big Brother because a lot of these people, they are in their 30s. They are older than what they were when they were on the show. So like when you get people who have a little life experience on the show and when they feel like they're going to end up on the wrong end of the stick, they're gonna go nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, and their fights aren't about like dumb stuff. It's about
exactly It's about the game. Yes. Like, because that's what that fight on Big Brother 10 was all about, was the game and trusting the wrong people. And like, you were, you know, trying to save Memphis. Why are you being nice to him? We're going to evict him. Like, you know, I won for our team and I'm protecting you guys. Why aren't you returning the favor? So all of that emanated from trying to win the game and put themselves in the best position possible.
All right. Nicole Anthony moves on from the HOH competition, the only person from the third group that moves on. And then finally, we have our final four men that enter the house. Kaser is back. And
yeah,
Taryn, we learned all about what's going on with Kaser.
I heard his voice and I just like warped into a young child again. I was so happy to see and hear from Kaser. It is weird to hear his voice come out of like new Kaser,
right?
Because he does look very different. but I'm so pumped. Like I'm really excited to see Kaser play again. I'm a little bit concerned that like I hope he's not like a little bit out of step.
He's got the roadmap all the way through 2021. Okay. The strategic roadmap is there. He already has it to 2021.
Kaser as a 25-year-old kind of played like a dad who thinks he's really good at poker but not.
I'm shocked he was 25, by the way.
Right? And so I feel like Kaser as like a 39-year-old who is now like a dad or you know close to it. I don't know. I can't remember if he had a kid.
He has a kid.
Yeah, he's a dad. He's not
who
just
is a dad.
Close to a dad. He's a real dad.
Might really play like a dad who like he might be that he might fill that role, I think. And I'm a little worried about that. He's like, I want to prove to people I'm a dangerous player in this game. I was like, Kaser, that's why you get voted out every time. Do the opposite of that. Don't be dangerous.
Yeah. Taryn, he talked about it, that he's such a strategic player and the other people never see it coming. And I was like, no, I think they did. They kind of see it coming.
They see it coming all the time.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. I think that
they keep seeing
it coming.
Hey, guys, I'm coming for you. We're coming for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Chantel, when Janelle and Kaser were reunited, they did not seem very surprised to see each other.
Well, either they're just playing it off that they don't want to remind people of how close that they really are.
I think they are just
playing the game right now, because if they're like, oh my God, I'm so excited to see you.
No, certainly that. But they did not even like go through the motions that they were like surprised to see each other. Like you would think that this would be like, they would want to like at least pretend like on Survivor. A lot of times, like you see people who like have a pregame alliance and they act like they haven't. It's like, oh, hey, Bob, you know, that they were, it was very much that they did not even like seem to barely acknowledge each other.
Well, maybe they need to take some acting lessons from Davon.
From Davon, right. Yeah.
I was literally so looking forward to that moment. I'm like sitting there like, oh my God, like a kid on Christmas morning. Like, oh my God, I can't wait till they see each other when Janelle and Kaser realize that they're playing the game again together. And then it was just like, oh, hey, what's up? I was like,
I was waiting for Janelle to like light up and be like, what up, Kaser?
Exactly.
No surprise whatsoever.
They played it right. I mean, I'm sure they talked ahead of time and they were like, when we see each other, we have to play it cool. I'm sure that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think that they were so nonchalant about it. And if I was there, I would say like, oh, these people have talked 9 hours a day, every day for the last 5 months.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. All right, Cody Calafiore is back. How exciting is this, Brent?
I like Cody. I was with some people on social media that I was like, look, I would rather have had his brother Paulie because I feel like he's a little bit of a mess and Cody's a little bit neater. But Cody's really competitive and he's got something to prove that he didn't play. First of all, that he didn't play bad on Big Brother 16 by taking Derek to the end because he actually had that choice and made it. And then that he also was a part of one of the greatest alliances in the history of reality TV in The Hitman. Like he really believes in that. So he's got something to prove. And he's fun. Like, I mean, look, I'll say this. He looks really good on TV, and he knows how to work the camera, and he's in a relationship with a girlfriend of 4 years, so I'm intrigued to see what a like not as flirty Cody might be able to bring to the house. Like that is intriguing to me.
Rob, I was watching this intro package and I felt like I was being warped back to the Ziggy Marley concert. I was like, what is happening here? Did they erase Pauly from this footage? Where is his brother Pauly? What's going on?
Yeah. I liked it at the end where like his dad went to give him a kiss. Yes. He was like, not this time.
Yeah. Not this time.
Are you saying
that was such a memorable moment too? Like from the first season, was just like, wait, whoa, why is his dad kissing him like that multiple times? Like I was very glad they kind of joked about that.
Yeah. Are you suspecting that Pauly Calafiore is not sheltering in place at the Calafiore compound?
That was my assumption.
I mean, he has to be there. They must have just erased it. They're so used to, they probably still have the program that they used to erase Pauly from the Ziggy Marley concert last time. And they were just like, we might as well put it to use, right? We spent so much time on it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I, for one, am very, very, very glad we have Cody and not Pauly, I have to say. Like, I really like Cody as a player, and I'm very excited to see what he'll do without Derek, especially, like Brent said, he feels like he has something to prove. And that's going to be a fun story to see. So, you know,
Melissa, what did you make of his comment to Julie when she was asking about, like, you know, who are you most surprised to see or the biggest get or however she phrased that? And he was, like, talking about K-Star.
Probably K-Star.
K-Star. Yeah. Like, K-Star goes so far back that he doesn't even know how to pronounce his name. Like, I'm hoping that he has a little reverence for K-Star.
No, I thought that he gave a very interesting answer here, Chantel, that he said, so they talked about, like, the people that, there were people there that he had not talked to in a while.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people that I really haven't had any dialogue with for since I've been on the show till now, so I was
this is code for
pre-gaming.
There are definitely some people here I didn't pregame with.
sorry, I couldn't. So what was that? I couldn't hear.
He was probably pre-gaming with some people that didn't show up in the house, so he was surprised at all that work that he's been doing.
Yes.
Fell on deaf ears. Yeah.
I thought he gave some good answers, though, with his interview with Julie. Like, I was very impressed. I feel like, especially because when you get HOH and it's like the beginning of the season, you're kind of just like, I don't know, I'm just really excited to be here, whatever. That's like usually the answers we kind of get. But I thought
we got
like
a real answer from him.
Right.
He was like, look, I was scared. I didn't know these people and I don't have relationships with them. I've never talked with some of them. I felt like I had to win because I didn't want to be the first house guest voted out. Like, I thought that was like a really interesting answer and very telling of some of the people that are in the cast and also some of the people that are not in the cast.
Tara, can you read in between the lines with what Cody was saying there in that interview?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I agree. This was the best part of the episode by far to me. Mm-hmm. This was an amazing, like, short little interview. It was kind of like the live diary rooms from BBOTT.
Yes!
And, like, you know that if this had not been live, like, the diary room would have been like, yeah, so I came in, I saw those envelopes, and I was like, oh, that's scary, so I need to win this HOH. And what I did to win this HOH is that we walked out into the backyard. this was amazing. We really got like his thoughts. Mm-hmm. I loved hearing from him. Like you can tell immediately, like this guy knows what he's talking about. He's talking about like, he's saying, I walked into this house. I thought I didn't need to win HOH. I thought I was set up well. I look around and I'm seeing a bunch of people I did not expect. Mm-hmm. And so that's scary to me. I'm willing to bet that some of the people he was competing with in that second part of the HOH were probably some of the people that he was worried about. And so he decided he needed to win this one. He feels like, okay, yes, it might put a target on my back, but I'd rather have people come to me so that I can feel things out and set a good game plan up. And it's like everything that I talked about in the off season about winning the first HOH and why it's beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was really impressed with the interview and I'm really excited to see what he does with this HOH.
Hey, Brent, can we put a finer point on this though? Can we try to figure out who are the people he thought were going to be there and who are the people that are there that he was not expecting?
Yeah. He's talking about Casey and Josh, like Casey Clark and Josh Martinez were widely reported. I reported they were the biggest locks on my board for the longest time to be on the cast of Big Brother 22 All Stars.
And to connect the dots, is it yes. Cody Calafiore to Pauly Calafiore to Josh, who was on the challenge?
Maybe. I can't necessarily connect the dots, but I know that that some of the recent people have definitely talked, and a lot of the people from earlier seasons, Cody has probably not talked with. It's like somebody like I don't know, Taryn, how you felt about the energy that I was getting between Cody and Memphis. I have to say, I didn't love it. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but I when they were competing, I felt like they were very introverted. They were very, like, their energy was very inward, like, when they won, and, like, they were, like, against each other, and then, like, that's why he ultimately beat him in the HOH competition.
Maybe it didn't help that Julie was like, hey, you guys are the two dumb idiots that both lost to Dan and Derek.
Shouldn't they work
How does
together?
That feel?
Like, I want them to work together.
Well, that's the thing. I think that they probably weren't able to do much pre-gaming. I think Memphis may have been a later addition to the cast. Memphis may be one of the people that Cody's talking about when he says that he didn't, didn't see the people he thought he was
going to see. I think recognize is probably right.
I think there is kind of a friendly rivalry between Dan and Derek, and it's immediately brought up between when Julie asks them this question, and Memphis comes right out and says, Renegades are better, man. And Cody was silent. Cody was like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess Hitmen are better. and so there's probably like this idea of like, I don't know whether Memphis is going to come for me or not. He's competing in this. I need to at least beat him. And, you know, I think they can work together, but it would not surprise me if there is a little bit of tension at first.
Chantel, I also think that maybe Kevin might be one of those people also that was like a late name added to the list that Cody may not feel entirely comfortable about if Kevin ends up being the first HOH.
Well, I think that anybody that was below season 10 and male that he didn't recognize, like, those were the people that we're talking about here, because he didn't seem like he knew that many people at all. And so he was probably planning on working with people season 21 and season 20 and season 19 and season 18 and everybody else. He's probably like, I have absolutely no idea who you guys are.
Okay. All right, then let's talk about Memphis. Melissa, are you pumped up to see Memphis? I guess I didn't recognize Memphis as much.
I didn't really recognize Memphis either, honestly. Like, I mean,
like, who's
I knew
this guy that got they put on? That's Memphis?
Yeah, I'm very excited to see Memphis back. I feel like he's one of those ones who I never would have expected to come back, and I really was not expecting him this season. So I'm very excited to see how he plays. And I also, you know, I liked in his intro package how he talked about how he wanted to play without Dan and show that, like, he could do it on his own, and basically said, like, he kind of was not like a dummy, but I guess he kind of said he, like, kind of got played last time. So I do think
he was playing checkers while Dan was playing.
Right, exactly. That was what he said.
Everybody knows.
Yeah,
winning strategy.
Did Memphis watch season 21?
Yeah. I honestly like how he said that. Because I was afraid that he was going to be like, oh, I should have won Big Brother 10 and I just didn't win it, so now I'm here to win. But like, I was glad that it was like, okay, look, like, we get it. Dan is amazing, but like, now I'm going to prove myself. So I'm interested to see his storyline.
Okay. How many restaurants did Memphis open?
Like 37.
Yeah. 37.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What's he doing with his brother?
That's what I know. We talked about this. It was on the show that you guys did when they hypothetically speaking, where you were talking about Memphis and like, he owns a couple restaurants, like, he's opened a bunch more. Like, he's got a life already. Like, what the hell is he doing on Big Brother? Like, he must just love the game. And if that's the truth, then I'm psyched to see him back. I really am.
I believe he was in the running to return for 13, both him and Dan. And so, like, it's been the case before where, like, he's wanted to come back. So it's not super surprising.
That's good.
Okay. All right. Chantel, any thoughts on Memphis?
Well, he probably didn't expect to receive a call this late in the game. So he was probably like, oh, wait, you want me on the show? Okay, yeah, I'll come. Like, I think it was just a surprise that he was being considered, that he had to say yes. Everybody would say yes if they were being considered right now.
He wiped out so many times in the HOH competition.
So uncomfortable. It was really awkward. And I screamed multiple times. It was painful to watch. I didn't enjoy that.
It looked dangerous.
I saw Dan Giesling just tweeted that, you know, you got to cut Memphis some slack. He's got to knock some of the rust off. Like, don't judge him too hard for that many falls.
All right. And then finally, David. David is back. And Taryn, is this Zen David?
I mean, I feel like he was kind of Zen David before, right?
Yeah.
Right, yes.
He was pretty chill last summer.
Yeah. I mean, apart from like the fake crying in front of Aika, but I don't
but
know.
But he never got mad or anything. Like, I can never remember. Yeah. And believe me, he had plenty of reasons to be mad. I think he did. And he did cry. He did cry in the diary room. But now I'm wondering, right when he got, when he was going to leave, he did. But I'm wondering, was that a cry on cue?
I mean, if it was, then like, congrats, man! Like,
we forgot about that.
Onto All Stars, right? Yeah. So I'm excited to see David back. Mm-hmm. When they played the clip of him, of Julie telling him, David, you're out, and he's just like, okay, like it was painful to me. Mm-hmm. Like, how it must have felt in that moment. Like, he can only just say okay. And so the fact that he's back, I think, is awesome. You know, there are definitely a lot of people like he was a first boot. He's never even played the game. Why is he on All Stars? I've said this before. I'll say it again. You know, All Stars is whatever, you know, we make of it. There was a guy called Chicken George on the first one. There was a guy called Mike Boogie, who was a third boot on the first one. We can have somebody like David, who definitely deserves a second shot. And I know mm-hmm. people will say, like, oh, it's made then a second chance season. We don't do second chance seasons on Big Brother. This is the shot. This is what we've got.
Yeah, this
Let's
is it.
Take
yeah.
it. So I think it's great to have this one wild card in the mix. Like, mm-hmm. nobody knows what to expect from this guy. He has no, connections. He barely played with any of these people. I think that's an interesting person to throw in the mixture and the mixologist bit of it.
Yeah, and there's so many people that we could have brought back who are known quantities that are just not people we do not want to see. Let's roll the dice with David and see what we have here.
Well, yeah, we're so like, excited.
Would you rather see Frankie?
Would you rather have somebody who's a known quantity, or would you rather have a first boot who we don't know what he's going to be?
I'm so excited to have David back. Honestly, I said it during his season that I was very, very impressed with
his game.
You're
a big David fan.
I was a big David fan. I still am. His intro package left a lot to be desired. I will say it was really bad and stupid. I mean, him just being like, yeah, I'm really working on the mental aspect, like by just like reading books. And like, I thought he was going to talk about stuff that had to do with Big Brother. Instead, he's like, I'm working on the mental aspect by reading and, like, you know, it's like hiking. And it's like, wait, what? So I don't know.
Hey, he got beaten at comp by Cliff Hogg, okay?
I think, if he wants to, like, joke about, like, okay, well, I'm really, like, working on the competition aspect and, like, do some sort of joke about that or, like, and maybe
working
have
on
him,
night
like,
vision.
Right, like, using night vision goggles or something or, like, make some sort of, like, or to even talk about the fact that like he was really not just that he's good at reading people, but he was able to like come into a house where he didn't hang out or know any of them and immediately be able to sense what was going on in the house, who is with who. And at that point, they weren't even letting them talk game with the rest of the house. So like all the campers like weren't allowed to talk game. And so it was just like he had just had to like pick up on vibes and pick up on the way people were hanging out with each other in order to really get a full on read of the house. And I felt like if he had gotten back in the game, he could have done really well. Yeah. So I'm very excited to see him this season. I felt like he could have really done a better intro. And it was like, just like, okay, you're not doing yourselves any favor with this thing, but I'm so excited to see him back. And I do think he deserves a second chance. So, you know, I'm excited.
Brent, let me just ask you in terms of David in this cast, was he a late addition that most people probably did not get a chance to talk to before the season started?
I wouldn't call him necessarily a late addition. I think he's been on the board for a while as somebody who was definitely, if not a lock, but definitely somebody who was going to come back to Big Brother. I have to believe he's probably had at least a few conversations with people, maybe not a lot. Some people thought he was an alternate. I'm with Melissa. I'm also very psyched that David has come back, mainly because of the fact that I feel like there's untapped potential there. And Big Brother All Stars is whatever you want to make it. It's in the eye of the beholder. So, you know, if they want to bring David Alexander back and give him a second shot when he really never got his first shot on Big Brother the first time, I'm all for it.
David's Twitter account right now also, the best current house guest in the house Twitter account right now.
Yes.
Probably followed by Danny, aka Dom.
Yeah, I saw David Alexander tweeting yesterday that he watched Audrey Middleton in Sequester. He was like all about Sequester, and he wanted to play. And I'm like, aren't you actually in Sequester right now?
The promo came out, like, was leaked this morning with David in it. And he was like, I don't trust the Photoshop, guys.
Yeah.
So good.
Do you think that David is set up well here in this house to have No, you think he won't do well?
I'm really happy that he's here. I think he 100% deserves a second chance, but I think he's out of his league. I think that people are just going to be outplaying him just even in the beginning game. I think by the time he gets his footing, he's going to be on the block and going out. I just don't know if he can get in there quickly enough because he's just not familiar with the game. And these people are all pretty much experts at the game. They play a full season at least. And so I think he's out of his league.
Interesting.
I hope that this Table Maze performance is not representative of David's time in the house because that's essentially the thing that he lost on for the competition to come back.
Not another Table Maze.
You'd expect him to work on it a little bit, right? So like it feels like he is not necessarily trained up on the things that he might have finished.
That's different in his promo package.
I think that David is going to be okay here in the beginning of this game, but that he had to endure so much last summer to be one of these camp comeback people. And he really didn't even have any sort of incident with like that. He was like trying to get in good with Jack and Jackson. And he was like in that situation, like, I think he's not going to rock the boat. Like, I think that he's somebody that I think is going to play like a floater game early on. He's going to hang out with Cody. He'll be in the backyard lifting weights in these next couple of days. And I don't think he's going to see the block here early on.
I don't know about that. I think there is, like, I don't think he's going to be the target. I do think he could be a pawn for Cody because, you know, there are people that, you know, maybe you want to have, maybe you have relationships with, maybe some other people you have tenuous relationships with. I always think that in these situations, you go with the devil you know, not the devil you don't. And he doesn't know many people. So I do worry that he could be a pawn. Yeah. If the nominations change with the safety suite thing, like, I don't even know, you know. It's possible.
All right.
Well, I'm going to be so angry if he goes out first and it's another like situation like in Survivor where it's like, well, they've already like been first out. Like this won't be that painful for them.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he'll go out first.
I will be very upset.
Okay. Well, this is a great segue to talk about, okay, what is Cody going to do with these nominations? So Cody's our first HOH and he's got to come up with two people. You know, we've seen how Cody plays. So, Chantel, do you think you have a read on who Cody might put up on the block this week?
The only person that I was kind of thinking was Nicole Franzel. That was the first name that kind of popped in my head.
Why? But
I'm not sure if...
Because he played with her.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I don't know if they still have a good relationship now.
But let's bring the, you know, because the Nicole and Calafiore relationship is going to be an interesting subject. I don't know if you caught this at the end of the episode, that there was a moment where Danny Donato talked about how she was surprised that both Derek and Dan were not in this house. And I have to credit Phil T on Twitter for making sure I had this sound clip. Let's listen in to Danny Donato talking about this, and then Nicole Franzel will react to that statement.
I'm surprised the combination of him and Derek, that neither one of them were here. I'm, like, really surprised.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it, though.
I'm cool with it, though. Snap. I did not hear that the first time.
I didn't
time.
Hear that either. I only heard the Danny part. All. That's so funny.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, Taryn, I was going to ask you, so, like, we saw, I mean, I was like, this is, like, my fan, you know, tinfoil hat theory, where we saw on Twitter that they were tweeting some, you know, fan theories about Nicole Franzel about a week and a half ago, and Derek Levasseur famously tweeted, he retweeted it, and then he said in the retweet comment, I'm not happy with Nicole Franzel right now. And then, like, I think he later went on to explain, you know, what it wasn't about, but it still stands the fact that he tweeted, I'm not happy with Nicole Franzel right now. Cody, you know, talked to Derek before the season, but Like, if Cody's looking at the game board and looking at the people that he knows and doesn't know, Nicole is one of the people that he at least has to have, I would think, an okay relationship with. So I don't think he goes after her unless unless it's really caustic.
I think it's potentially reasonable to think that that maybe the reason Derek isn't happy with Nicole is because she snaked Cody in the pregame somehow, maybe. I think that's possible. However, I am getting tweets from people who are watching Derek's Instagram Live right now who are saying that he said Cody will 100% not put up Nicole Franzel. Hmm. So it appears whatever went down was either resolved or was not serious enough that it will impact their game, at least in the first week.
Yeah, okay. That's what I think too. Like, as far as people that he's actually going to put up, I have to think that with winning $5,000 and, you know, like these people do not live in a bubble. Like they live in the real world.
They actually do, Brent.
Well, I know, but now, but they didn't before. And when they weren't living in the bubble, they knew that Christmas is not exactly a fan favorite. She already won $5,000. I feel like that she could definitely see the block in the first week. I also worry a little bit about somebody, like, I don't want to say it, but like somebody like Keisha. Like, I really hope Cody loves Keisha, but I don't feel like that is enough. I think there's a non-zero chance that Keisha hits the block as well.
Melissa, what do you think?
It's tough. It's hard because it's like, I keep thinking that people who were on their season together will not target each other. But then I also feel like there's the possibility that, like, well, maybe they would target each other because it's like vengeance or whatever. So I really don't know. I think it's possible. I think that the Christmas thing makes sense. She wants some money. She's not super loved. Like, maybe that's an easy thing.
But do you think that Cody has his finger on the pulse of what the fandom thinks of Christmas?
I kind of think so.
No way.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure he knows that she's not like super popular, but
his brother is Pauly Califiori.
And he knows that Pauly's not super popular.
Yeah, yeah, but Pauly at least has his fans. Like, Christmas is
only fans. Yeah.
She has like 600,000 followers on Instagram. I mean, Cody told us, he told Julie that, like, look, if you go with a house target, you don't get as much blood on your hands. The odds of that person, the person coming, it stays winning the next HOH are pretty low. So I think I don't know if Cody is going to be specifically targeting anybody. I think he's going to try to find consensus. And I think the likely target of that is going to be somebody that is not very connected. And that could be Nicole Anthony. It could be, Keisha. It could even theoretically be Memphis. I don't know how late he was added. It could be Kevin. I think anybody that was not pre-gaming is definitely in a lot of trouble here, because this is going to be a week of let's get out an easy person that's not going to piss anybody off.
I still think that he's going to go after Christmas. I think that Christmas is the consensus target of the house. I think that they saw her during that first HOH competition. Like, she was, you know, she was one of the people that advanced to the end and actually was able to move that board around. Like, and she doesn't necessarily connect well with people. Like, she connects well with Josh and Paul, but I still think she can be a little hot-headed.
You are
sometimes
trying so hard to manifest this.
I am.
It's,
that's okay.
He's no way. Look, he's going after Christmas.
We've got every Christmas.
Christmas will follow him around his house all for 85 days.
Christmas is deeply attached to Josh, who is attached to Devon, who is in the challenge, who is attached to Paul.
That is a lot of six degrees of separation.
But Josh was going to be like, Josh was going to be there. I guarantee Josh was planning on working with Christmas, which means Cody was probably planning on working with Christmas. Like, I think there's a lot there there's a lot more there, especially now that Josh and Casey are gone. Like, somebody like Christmas is like, I mean, I only now have a connection to somebody like Cody and Devon. Like, please take me, because I've got nobody now.
Yeah,
I'm calling it now. Christmas, Devon, David Alexander, those are the nominees. I'm saying it.
I'm also worried about Kesar, because, you know, if he's seen that he doesn't really have that much of a connection to him,
Kesar.
I don't know. Everybody keeps on changing. I don't know what's the right one. I would normally say Kesar.
It's Kesar.
I think Kesar.
Yeah.
But I'm saying things.
What up, Kaser?
What up, Kaser? Okay, yeah. But I think that, you know, he doesn't know him that well, and he played so long ago that maybe it'd be, I don't know who you are, so I'm going to put you up on the block. Sorry, bud. And, you know, that would be it. So.
I will say, Rob, by the way, I know that we heard a lot of fan theories. There were some rumors going around about, like, what the HOH, at one point there was going to be, like, three HOHs people were talking about. I'm just really glad we crowned a freaking HOH. He's going to nominate two people. We're going to get a veto on Wednesday and an eviction on Thursday. Like that, like I'm just thrilled about that because like there were a lot of ways for this to go bad. And I think for the most part, it's going to go pretty right. So,
but Brent, did you hear about the safety lounge?
Yeah, whatever.
Safety suite, Karen.
There's a thing called the safety lounge, guys.
What is this?
Yeah. This is how it works. People go into the safety lounge and then they come out of the safety lounge and we'll tell you more details later. But first, let's talk to the house guests and tell them the same information. Hey, house guests, there's a thing called the safety lounge. I'll stop now because I'm kidding.
Yeah, Karen's campaigning to be the new Julie.
Yeah. Julie was...
Sorry, safety suite.
Safety suite. Yeah, that's right.
I guess she didn't say it enough times.
Yeah.
She didn't say it enough times. Could Ian Terry see the block this week, Melissa?
It's possible. I mean, you know, I don't know if Ian was playing up the like, oh, I'm uncomfortable, I'm nervous thing. Just like to show that's who he is or something. Or maybe that's really who he is. And he just like... was actually nervous and uncomfortable.
Oh, I think that's what he, I think that's really Ian. Like,
no,
did you see him when he was walking down this? Yeah. When he was walking down the steps and he was just like,
yeah,
he looked like a cartoon character. He's so nervous.
Needs his hammock.
Yeah. Right.
No,
is there
mean,
a hammock
like,
in the backyard? I hope there is.
I mean, I'm sure there isn't right now.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see a situation where Ian doesn't connect right off the bat with a bunch of people. And then it's like, well, he's a winner. Like,
yeah.
You know, there's only two winners in this house. And it's totally possible that it could be a situation where it's like, well, we have two winners in this house. Let's put up the two winners. Like we want someone to win who hasn't
won.
Let's put up Nicole. Let's put up Ian. Boom, done.
At one point there were like five winners on the cast. And then like, you know, in the preseason when we were thinking about the possible people who could be on and now there's only two. That's also a good call.
And to Aaron, to go back to Cody's original season, he played in BB16, like that the house guests always talk a ton about the previous seasons. I'm sure that Ian's name was something that came up in terms of like comparing players to Ian. And I'm pretty sure that Cody and Ian do not have like a relationship outside of the game. I could see Ian just being an easy target for Cody to say he's a winner. Oh, he's too smart. I don't trust him. I'm worried about Ian.
He's a super easy first target. I mean, he was going to be the first boot of Big Brother 14, if not for the Mike Boogie saving him with the coaches competition. And you know, you see him. He comes in. He's not great with like big groups of people. He's nervous. He's going to take a little while to warm up and connect to people. And now he additionally has this big target on his back. I think 100%. Ian needed to be pre-gaming a lot in the pre-game. And I think his potential safety in this game comes down to how well did he do it.
Yeah, I agree.
We haven't really talked about Julie and trying to keep control of this group. You know, they kept them separate and then they brought them together. And there was quite a bit of this once we reunited or put these people together for the first time.
The last person seated gets evicted tonight. I'm just kidding. You're not listening. All right, everyone, take a seat. Take a seat. Take a seat. Last person seated gets evicted. Kidding. Whoops. I really need you to listen to me.
guys, come on. Come on, guys.
The best one was about the have-not room. That was my favorite one.
Yeah, that was the best.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to our producer right now. Do they push it?
Why or was it so important to get people to go look at the have-not room on night one?
So that they could talk about the safety suite five times.
I guess so. All right, this was the end. So they send the four have-nots up to the have-not room to go in there.
All right, then just stay in the hall for seven days. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
She's kidding.
She says I'm kidding like she's been trying to tell you 10 times and you won't believe her. But it's immediately after she said the thing.
Yeah. It's a nervous tick because she doesn't have the live audience there. Like she normally has people like reacting to what she's saying, but there's nobody there right now. It's a little weird.
Mm-hmm. She says it like a Jewish mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
I'm kidding. Jeez, what do you expect? I'm kidding. Jeez.
Last season, we got Julie telling during the live show.
Settle down, Beavis.
And now we can add to that collection with this.
Bueller?
I heard that. I was like, did she say Bueller? Bueller? Anyone? Bueller?
Yeah. Julie's got all the references.
Got references.
What does Julie expect? Like, they're meeting each other for the first time, and you expect them to just, like, sit down and not greet the other people like a mean person? They're going to act as friendly as possible because they don't want to give off a bad first impression.
Mm-hmm. They should have made, like...
They should have made that more longer. Like, they should have cut out... Like all
that was fun
mazes.
To see.
That's what we want.
Yeah, they should have made the maze like, you know, 2 minutes long, put bumpers on the end so the ball doesn't go off the track. And
it
then, like,
just been, yeah, go in, find where the thing is, come back out and put a thing on the board and that says the right thing.
I would have been here for that.
Yeah, we don't need a maze. We don't need any of that. It's just, you know, quick in and out, go, done.
Yeah.
Chantel, can I give you one other conspiracy theory from tonight? So after Memphis went and fell down 9 times,
was it way
too easy for Cody then to see 100%. Which things were still shaking back and forth and just not jump on them?
That was the first thing that I saw. And I was like, are they going to restart this competition? Or like, they need to reset these pieces because
please
he can
reset the pieces.
Clearly see which ones are moving and which one not to try stepping on. And so obviously he's going to have a super fast time with, he has them all vibrating and show them what the path is. So he's going to have the best time. And then they had a commercial break. So it all of them reset. And then it never really was able to happen again.
And then after the first person went, Julie was like, wait, we have to wait so that the pieces stop moving. And I'm like, oh, now you're gonna wait for the pieces to stop wobbling?
Well,
now,
I'm not saying
it was intentional, but it
noticed
sucked.
It sucked. Put a stop to it.
Yeah. It was like there wasn't an accident that he went in 22 seconds. Okay. Well, I mean, whatever. Like he won, but that wasn't well thought out.
All right, let's get to some questions here from the listeners and hear what they had to say tonight. Okay, let's go ahead and start to bring some in. Mindy Bond says, do you think that Cody could see Kesar as his new Derek? Kesar is calm, cool, and
I'm saying it like that.
Sorry.
Kesar.
Yeah, it's only for Cody. I don't know.
No.
Seems like a stretch.
Yeah, I also think that Cody kind of want to be the alpha this time, or does he want to repeat like history and be the beta again? Like, I think he wants to be the alpha. I think that he wants to show that he can be the one calling the shots, mm-hmm. like the strategic mastermind behind things. Like, but on the other hand, as you saw at the beginning of the show, like he said, like, I don't necessarily want to win the first HOH competition. And then he did. Like, I think it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. And, like, a lot of times people go back to what they previously felt comfortable with. And he did feel very comfortable in that role. So is there a path for him to, you know, possibly align with Kacer and, you know, create, like, a new Hitman alliance?
Well, as long
maybe.
As the other paths are all shaking violently, yes. Then he'll know the right path to go through. Okay. Let's keep going. All right. Mike Bloom says, harder to get into, the have-not room or the 10 rating in the Stockwatch, Taryn?
Definitely the Stockwatch. It's very difficult to get a 10. Tyler's managed it, though. So maybe if Tyler had been up there in the hallway, he would have been able to get in the have-not room.
All right, then just stay in the hall for seven days. I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. We talked, Taryn, about Tyler's reaction to not seeing KC. What did you think about Tyler reacting to this cast reveal tonight? It seemed like a quiet night for Tyler.
it was kind of hard to track him.
It really
and his
was.
Reaction.
Yeah.
And the thing about Tyler too is that like Tyler stressed out looks the same as Tyler just like chilling, like just like what? What's happening? Oh man, I said two words.
Right? No idea. Oh, that's two words. Sorry. Yeah.
I was definitely looking for him and Bailey's reaction mm-hmm. because I felt like those two were going to be the biggest ones. I think that this. I think that he can try to bounce off of this as a way to be like, hey, Bailey, like they're not here. This is great for us. Right. I have to imagine that he came into this game expecting a layout that was much better for him. He walks in, he sees a completely different field and he has to be sweating because this is not a good setup for him anymore.
I will say that, as somebody who, I can really appreciate Tyler's game. I did give him a 10 in the Stockwatch. Like I like Tyler's game. I will say that, I like this setup better for him from my standpoint, because it is a harder setup as Taryn noted. But if he actually takes home the win, if he actually does well, like I think I'll be able to appreciate it a lot better than if he has like, four buddies on the show that he all pre-gamed with and that, he makes a run at the end. Like that would be freaking terrible level 6 all over again. Yeah. So I want to see what he can make organically.
Chantel, I think he has a lower target on his back without Casey there.
Definitely. I think he can just kind of fall back a little bit. They won't immediately be buddy-buddy and an immediate target and immediate like, okay, we've got to get those two out. And so he'll be able to play a little bit more, kind of get his footing a little bit better and more easily. And he might be able to do better. And we'll be able to see his strategy and how he navigates the actual game instead of like having the support of a big alliance. So okay. I'm intrigued to see with his positioning how he does.
All right, let's take a question from Mr. Robot Taryn. It says, is Christmas winning the 5K a big deal on an all-star season? Melissa, what do you make of Christmas winning that money?
I would say not really, just because it does seem like most of the people now on the show are like in a good spot in their lives and are doing well for themselves. I mean, Memphis has 37 restaurants, and Kaser is an executive of a biotech company. So like, I don't feel like the $5,000 is like as big of a deal in this situation as it normally is when people are there like for the money. Like these people are there for redemption, for the title, for all these other things. But I don't necessarily think they're like, I need that money. Maybe some of them are, I don't know. But
make that much in like 2 weeks just being in the house.
Yeah, that's true.
I was gonna say, like, it's not a big deal unless Cody wants it to be a big deal. Right. That's the real answer.
Okay.
It can be, that's the thing, is it can be made into a big deal in order to find a reason to get someone out.
A reason.
But,
We haven't talked about this tonight, but I want to address it that the house looks more like BB Can, but on a budget. I thought that, especially the front of the house, looked incredible.
Front of the house looks great.
Yeah.
Real makeover. I love the house this year. Yeah, it looks awesome. It really does.
And how they had their faces up there on the screens. That was awesome.
That was really awesome. I love everything about the house except for the kitchen. Like, I don't think the kitchen with the spray painting and all that, I don't think it really
goes. I love
the
kitchen.
I don't think it goes well with the rest of the house. But
the comic room for me is the
that one a little bit. That's a little weird too.
Comic room is just, we've seen that before.
Yeah.
But I
also
love the HOH room.
The HOH room.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Yes. It actually looks like a penthouse with the windows
really
and everything.
A three-story penthouse.
It does. It looks like Enzo's penthouse. Yes.
I actually have a theory about the new house. I feel because of the merger with CBS and Viacom takes care of MTV, that it's a little bit more the real world style and the challenge house style, kind of big, lofty, and like, so I think that
they
people that
lofty,
usually
yeah.
would be working yeah. on the challenge are like, hey, do you want to do a new gig here? We need to trade out staff, so can you come in and construct a new house this year?
Okay.
That's what I think. Especially
the front of the house, I like it. To me, it feels more like a combination of the old school front of the house and the new like stagey style. I don't know, like, because it does feel very futuristic, sure, but like I still get like that old school vibe from it, so I like it.
Let's take a few more questions here tonight. Mike Doskis says, you know how in the Old West when they tried to hang a guy and the rope broke and they just set him free? Well, they should apply the same logic and let the BB-22 have nots for the week because they couldn't open their room. Yeah.
If only. But look, I said this on Twitter and I'm going to say it again. Like, if you're going to have nots, at least enforce the rules. Rob, I saw you tweeted something about this as well. Like, I'm cool if they have have nots. I'm cool if they don't have nots. But if you're going to have them, at least make sure that the house gets followed the rules, because then people get very angry when you don't make them follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, Julie said that they would explain what the have nots were for anybody who is a new viewer to Big Brother. And that what I had said on Twitter was that for anybody who's new to Big Brother, that a have not is a person who is forced to eat Big Brother slop for a whole week, and also anything they can get into the shower with them and eat while the water is running.
Yes.
That famously, Chrissy and Big Brother OTT looked that up in the rule book. It's there.
Yeah. Okay. So a couple more questions. Anthony says, will the Nicoles work together, or will one target the other like Survivor All-Stars? All right, we don't need to talk about that, Anthony. This is actually my son sent that question in. Chantel, do you think that one Nicole will say, like Highlander, there can only be one Nicole in this house?
If one would say it, it would be Nicole Franzel, but
she'd
I think
be cool with it.
Anthony would more likely want to work with the other Nicole, but I think Nicole Franzel might want to target just, there can only be one Nicole in here. And so,
yeah, I could possibly see that, but I really hope that that doesn't come to fruition. I saw Nicole Anthony on the outside where she was with, I can't remember who she was with, but she was like, you know, these other three amazing women. And like, I really feel like she's all about that. And I don't feel like she would go after Nicole Franzel just because she's the only Nicole in the house with her. No.
Are they each going to just go by Nicole, or are they going to go by like Nicole F and Nicole A?
I hope it's like Franzel and Nicole Anthony.
Yeah, they might go by last name.
Yeah, it's weird. It would be too weird to call Nicole Anthony. It would be like, you can't just call her Anthony. That doesn't work. But you can call Franzel Franzel. So I feel like that's got to be how it goes.
It could be like Nick Nicole.
Okay. All right.
We'll see how it shakes out.
I don't know if Nicole is going to feel comfortable being called Nick after season.
Hey, we get feeds on night one, so we won't have to figure out. I think it was like last year where like an entire 24 hours we thought somebody else was cis. Remember that? Where we're like, we couldn't figure out who was cis.
Okay.
So we had to like go to her sister and see what her sister said. And it was,
The Melissa Bot has a question. Who is the most likely to shout out RHAP and the LFC on the feeds?
Nicole or Tyler.
Maybe in like a negative way, Nicole. Yeah. Tyler. Ian, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ian. Probably, yeah. Ian was on he worked with RHAP for a couple years on Thursday nights. Yeah.
Well, here's a first, because famously last season, Cliff talked about us a lot. Chantel, we've never gotten a negative shout out on the feeds. That's never happened before. We could get a reverse shout out this season.
No, I think that they all respect our app, and like all the shout outs will be in good.
Definitely.
I don't think that they'd want the fandom to come after them there. So I think you're safe. You're good.
Right. Shout out to Brent from RJP. please don't listen to anything he does.
Oh boy.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. Let's go to person woman Dan keeps saying.
Oh my god, that's good.
age old question. But now that for people listening to the podcast, this is this person's name on Twitter. Person woman.
Person woman Dan TV.
Rob did not just have a stroke. Yes. We're good.
Age old question. Person woman Dan Giesling TV. Okay, I can remember it. No problem, Taryn. Okay. Age-old question, but now the context is a bit different. Is it a good thing to win the first HOH in the All-Star House? Right? You would think in any season it's good to win the first HOH. Is there anybody that thinks it's not a good reason to be HOH?
I used to think it was a really bad idea to win first HOH. Because it was like you were putting a target on your back, you know, you're supposed to lay low, blah, blah, blah. And so for like the longest time, I thought it was a bad thing. And then I think around Big Brother 16 is when I changed my mind. because I remember Frankie, I think, won first HOH, and like everybody came to him and he was joined in like all the alliances. And it was like everyone was meeting up in the HOH room. And then, like, you know, Nicole, I believe, won it her second time playing. And I just felt like it's really beneficial to win the first HOH because people will come to you. You'll be involved in all the alliances. Like, you're not going to be a first one out. And I just think that, yeah. So, I mean, even in this context of an all-star house, I do think it's a good idea to win.
Yeah. And usually there's like a consensus house target and you can, mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Cody's looking to do. Like, he's looking for the consensus house target that he can put up somebody next to them and then just step back, let the house do its work. And, you know, hopefully, you know, there's like, you know, you heard him. He was like, you know, a low percentage chance that whoever is the pawn who stays in the house that they actually win HOH, like, you know, in the next week or so. And he's cool with that. So yeah, that's what he's going to try to do.
We did a whole statistical analysis in an off-season podcast, what the data tells us about winning the first HOH. I highly recommend going and listening to that podcast if you're curious to hear more about winning the first HOH.
Could you give us the quick version in case people don't have time to go back and listen to off-season podcasts in the midst of, like, I feel like that time has passed.
Historically, it's a very good thing.
Yes.
It's a winning the first HOH. Make sure that you are on the right side of the votes. Just make sure that you don't completely botch it and your percent chance to win goes up pretty high.
Okay. Yeah, as long as you use it to not, like, to make alliances and make people that you're working with and it doesn't make an enemy out of you. Like, if you use it in the right way, I think it could be really beneficial to set, like, to be the ground foundation for your whole game. So yeah, I think it's really beneficial. Okay.
Person, very woman, cool. Dan Giesling TV. Heidi Marshall says, so now I'm rooting for the Have Not Alliance. Anybody with me? Okay. Yeah, they got to crawl through the room. Tara, mm-hmm. Big Brother loves to see people crawling through a crawl space.
I mean, I guess they couldn't put Ian in a dog costume, so they just made him get on all fours. I don't know what's going on here. They just love to humiliate their contestants.
Yeah, that was so dumb, too. The whole envelopes thing. I thought there was going to be like five different things in the envelopes. Julie kept talking about, like, oh, there could be good things, could be bad things in the envelopes. It was like one $5,000 prize, and the rest might as well have been blank. Like,
this was a far cry from the Black Widow endurance competition in the original All-Stars season where they had like
actual prizes. Yeah. And punishments. Like, this is so dumb. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Look, Taryn, it's not like they had a long time to get ready for this. Okay. This is kind of just spur of the moment.
They're just obsessed with their big set piece competitions. There's such a disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. This is one from Lee. We hate the shout outs and holding the door, as many of the All-Stars have tweeted. Do you think they will do it now that they're in the house?
I hope not.
I actually, the entrance.
There's no audience. What are they looking at? Let them keep the door open the whole time.
Wait, what's the room?
Are they going to pump in crowd noise?
That's very true.
It's just Julie.
It's just Julie.
Julie's like, hey guys.
What's going on out there?
I do like the entrance to the house, though. It's like downstairs. It's like a descent into madness with like these lights. It's great.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Chandler says, was it just me or is Julie having fun tonight, bantering with the house guests and threatening to evict them for not listening? So much kidding. Chantel, mm-hmm. Do you think that Julie was enjoying herself tonight?
I actually think she was. I think not having the pressure of the crowd, she just had to be herself. Like, there's no, she was bantering with herself and the house guests. And so I think she was having a good time with it because there's nobody that was like going to have dead silence. Like, it was all silence. So yeah.
Do we have any word if Julie is also in a bubble like the crew, or is she basically coming in and out?
I think she's coming in and out.
Yeah.
They also said that the crew wasn't being sequestered somewhere. It was like they would come in and work kind of like separately and then go back to their homes. At least that's what I read in an article, which I feel like kind of defeats the purpose of the whole thing.
I think they're all sectioned into different groups of people so that like if one person does get infected, they just pull that whole group. But the rest of the crew is separate from that group.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard it was like a 1 month work on and then one, like 2 weeks off and then 2 weeks quarantine and then 1 month on is what I heard.
That's what I heard.
Yes,
as well.
Yes. Yeah. That's consistent with what I had been hearing. And again, look, that we can make fun of the table maids all we want. Kudos to Big Brother for getting this figured out and coming up with a plan that seems to have some redundancy there and the ability to, deal with a setback or two along the way. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's go to Joey. How are you guys feeling about Ian's chance of staying safe the first week with Cody as HOH? I don't feel great. I feel okay.
I don't feel as good as I did when I realized that Melissa noted that there's only two winners in the cast. Like in my head, like I thought there was more than that. And then after some changes and some people dropping out and some new people coming in, it's only two winners, and that's definitely a possibility. I'm hoping that the consensus house target is somebody like, maybe Nicole, maybe Christmas, maybe someone we're not really feeling, and then like he just puts up somebody else as a pawn. But it definitely, Ian's definitely a possibility to hit the block.
Okay. Hope he can get his R score where it needs to be. All right, let's do one last question, and then we'll start to wrap things up tonight. Because look, we over 5,000 people are watching us live here, and
at
it
1 a.m.
is
Eastern.
1 a.m. on the
wow.
East Coast.
Wow! God bless you.
You are the real ones. Okay. All right. Ride or dies. I love IRL says, how many pre-show alliances or friendships do you think were made, and do you think that they'll play a heavy role on the season? I think that's a fair question. Melissa, do you think that this season will be determined by the pregame alliances, or do you think they'll end up not being that big of a deal?
I feel like in the beginning, they're definitely going to be a big deal. And I think that that might then impact the rest of the game moving forward. So I do think they're going to have a big impact on it. I don't know necessarily what those pregame alliances or discussions are, but I think it'll be really interesting to see and to see if they try and hide it at all. Like, I wonder if they're going to be like, oh, it's crazy to see you. Let's make an alliance. And rather than like, hey, like we know we're good. I don't know. So
relationships will matter more. People that like are friends outside of the house, that will matter the most. And then relationships that are built in the house will be helped along by pregame relationships, pregame alliances. But I think the pregame alliances will have a big impact early on. And then you'll see relationships actually start to develop in the house, and those will probably start to break apart these pregame alliances into bigger or smaller pieces.
Yeah, if you're somebody who's good if you pride yourself on building good social relationships, in the long game in the house, you just have to survive this first initial, run of HOHs for like the first 2 or 3 weeks where, some of the pregaming is going to have a big influence on what happens. If you can get your foot in the door and, really make a run at it and make some bonds with people, like I think people like Ian, Keisha, people that have good instincts when it comes to bonding with other house guests, I like their chances, but they have to avoid this first hurdle of HOHs.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up on the podcast. Of course, a lot of stuff going on Rob as a podcast. If you have been away for a little bit and just jumping back in, and we're very excited about a brand new podcast that we have coming up here. We are talking about 90 Day Fiancé. That would be specifically Pouya Zambakili is going to be hosting a weekly roundtable talking about 90 Day Fiancé. So be on the lookout for that. You could subscribe to our 90 Day Fiancé podcast feed at robswebsite.com/90DayFiancé. Just kicked it off last week. Yes?
That's the show about Nicole and Victor in the Big Brother house?
Yeah, it's about the length of a Big Brother season. So there you go.
Yeah.
You go 90 days and then eventually.
Not aware of that, but I'm very excited about
yes.
it.
Julie had asked Nicole about the wedding coming up.
And I'm sure you're not a bridezilla.
No.
Okay. All right.
She's scintillating television, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Okay.
We know why she was brought back.
Julie's just kidding. Okay. All right. Let's talk about, oh, The Bachelor is back. Catch what Amy and Haley has to say, plus some Bachelor breaking news coming up from the Bachelor bubble as well with Amy and Haley in our Bachelor wrap-up feed on News AF today. Myself and Danny and Tyson got into everything going on in the world. A weekly look at the week's the internet's most interesting news stories over on News AF. The B&B, boy, let me tell you about the B&B. Not only are there Survivor B&Bs for our Wiggle Through Time series, but also Mike and Liana are going to be playing some games about Big Brother all summer long. And
yes,
you can
they
catch
are.
The Big Brother B&B in our Big Brother podcast feed as well. So Mike and Liana are doing double duty right now.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I don't often get the chance to see Mike Bloom talk about Big Brother. Taryn just celebrated 10,000 followers on Twitch last night.
Congratulations.
And, he went back and saw the first podcast that me and Taryn ever did together, which was hosted by Mike Bloom, which I had forgotten about. And Mike's a lot of fun talking about Big Brother. And of course, I love my girl, Liana. You know? Yeah.
All right. That's what's going on the B&B. And then also, David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis are also continuing to talk about why blank lost on Survivor. And they may also have some Big Brother coverage coming your way. If who goes out on week one, you may hear David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis talking about why they lost Big Brother. A first.
Okay. Are there rules?
Yeah, we'll find out. You gotta listen to find out, Chantel. Okay? All right.
Intrigued.
Then, of course, Tough as Nails. If you watched the hour leading up to Big Brother on CBS tonight, you saw episode number 6 of Tough as Nails. The barrel challenge was harrowing. They climbed up telephone poles, okay? Those were some challenges. Phil Kogan joins Mike Bloom, Jessica Lisa, and myself on our Tough as Nails recap coming to you on Thursday morning. So be on the lookout for that with Phil. And then Taryn will have Big Brother All-Stars live feed update number 1 coming up. Woo! We believe sometime around 11 a.m., maybe earlier if Taryn pulls an all-nighter. What's it looking like at this point?
I have no idea. We've barely even started, Rob.
We've barely even started. Okay. All right. So be
It'll
on
be
the
fun,
lookout.
Though. It'll be fun, though. I'll be like, there's going to be a lot of information, a lot of setting the table here. So make sure you check it out.
Okay. Set the table for live feed update with Taryn tomorrow. Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast feed so you don't miss it. And then we will also have, oh, it's the Big Brother All-Stars draft. Do we have cast photos out? Did that happen while we were on?
Yeah, it's on the other bios. Their bios are up on CBS.com.
Okay.
I love the chat was calling him Ancient Ian.
Ancient Ian. Okay.
He
all right.
That streak.
Yeah.
We will spend all day Thursday trying to figure out what the draft order will be for Thursday night. So
yes,
be on the lookout.
That is Thursday night. Yeah.
Thursday
yeah,
night, 8 p.m.
Night.
8 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern. What did I say the wrong day?
On the image, it says Friday.
Okay. Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Okay. Be on the lookout for that. We won't put the image back up. Okay. and then Mike and Liana will have Big Brother B&B episode number 1 coming this weekend. Be on the lookout for that. Sunday night, we're going to be back. We don't know what time because there is going to be PGA golf. That is something that's happening. At some point, this is kind of like Taryn's live feed update tomorrow. We'll let you know when it's on. Julie Chen Moonves told us to check Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to find out. Melissa, on one of those social networks, I guess we will find, it's like the table maze of like trying to find, like where do you have to go? Go on all these social networks and like all of those pages. One of them will have the time Big Brother will start on Sunday.
Yeah, you all know, but you have to like them all. So, you know,
you have to like them all. Okay, so we'll be back on Sunday night, of course. Then all of this podcasting, everything we have coming your way over this beautiful Big Brother season and that we have coming your way, made possible by the support of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. We have our patron community thriving over on, Julie said, on Facebook. We just reactivated our patron Discord channel as well. Patron-only podcast feed and more, all at robhasawebsite.com/ patron. Really appreciate your support here at the start of the season. And if becoming a patron is not your thing or the timing is not good for you right now, the easiest thing that you can do that's completely free to support the show, go to Apple Podcasts and give the show an honest rating, either in the Rob Has a Podcast feed at robswebsite.com/iTunes or at robswebsite.com/BBPodcast to help support the shows. Okay. All right. Chantel, it was so nice to get the podcast with you again.
It was so fun. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be talking about Big Brother. As I've said before, with summertime, I think Big Brother is always the end of June and beginning of July, a new Big Brother is coming. And so it feels really great to be getting into the live feeds and talking about my favorite show.
Okay. Chantel, where can people hear more from you on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, like Julie tells people to look?
Instagram will probably be the easiest. I have like a link in my bio that has everything. So it's like one-stop shop. And that's going to be at ShanFranFran on Instagram.
Okay. Also, that an easy way to rate this podcast, go to ratethispodcast.com/RHAP. That's a short link that you can use to give the podcast your honest rating. Okay. Brent, what's coming up for you?
Covering Big Brother, having a great time, and watching Sequester and promoting that, and really excited about covering the live feeds, and they're gonna be on in about like what, 45 minutes, something like that, at 2 a.m. Eastern.
How many Cokes will you have tonight?
I have a lot of them. I'm ready. I specifically slept the entire day so that I was ready to go tonight and then all through the night for the live feeds.
What
so
will
I
you do?
Ready.
Will you live chat, live tweet the live feeds?
I don't know. I'll do whatever. Like, Taryn might be on his Twitch. I don't know. I might come over there.
Inviting yourself.
Yeah, I kind of do that sometimes. If he wants to have me, I don't have my own Twitch, so I'm like, I'll come over to see Taryn. But okay. If he's not, if he's doing his own thing, then I'll probably just tweet about it, or I might go on Periscope on Twitter. Who knows?
Okay, who knows? Who knows what the night could hold? All right, Melissa, what's new with you?
Just Big Brother now. I'm very excited to watch the show. I'm very excited to win the draft.
Whoa, Melissa is calling a shot like Tyler.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna win this time.
Yeah,
please.
Well, would you call yourself the total package?
Yeah, I'd call myself the total package.
Wow. I like it. Yes,
so much confidence.
You own a tractor.
You have a blazer.
I do not own a tractor. Yeah. I do have a blazer, so we're all good here. Okay. It's just excited to watch Big Brother. I'm very glad it's back, so this is great.
All right, and Taryn, where can people find you?
Go and find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I will be live shortly after this podcast, definitely in preparation for the live feeds beginning. Who knows how long we'll be hanging around. But it's going to be fun. It's all star cast. It's the first night of feeds. Come watch with me.
Okay. All right. And then we'll hear from Taryn in the morning for the first live feed update at some point. So really appreciate everybody being here with us live. This was a very fun show, very fun start to the season. I'm very excited for everything that we have coming. We have a jam-packed schedule for you in terms of coverage for the show. We will have certainly Taryn's live feed update every morning. We'll have recaps after all the other episodes. We also have several other live shows, panel shows that we're planning during the week as well. So I'm really excited. This is going to be our biggest season of Big Brother coverage yet. I'm so happy to have you all here with us. We have so many new friends that we want you to meet as well. So we're very excited about everything. Thank you so much for watching tonight. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.